just not that smart. You know, sometimes I screw up, and sometimes we have to start over, even though we had a good cold start with the Tiki Talks.
I know. Take two.
Take
Tiki
two. Well, welcome everybody this time. Ashley should be here now. I just need to start hitting buttons, I guess. But
I'm here.
Welcome to the Don't Go In There podcast. I'm Bill. That's your hostess with the mostest, Ashley Ernie. And
hello.
Today we are going to do part 4 of Billy Milligan. Seems like this one might be like a 75 episode series. It just keeps going.
Yeah, it does keep going. And it's like an onion. Like, it keeps unraveling. There's more things to get into. And it's each episode is more interesting than the last.
100%.
100%.
So where we left off last time, Billy was found being naughty, of course. I mean, who would have thunk that a person that was a serial, or not a serial rapist, but a, well, I guess he was. I'm not.
I mean, he definitely has more than one under his belt. He has two-ish.
Three. I think it's four in 12 days. Oh, sorry.
I mean.
Whoops.
That was a ghost.
That was a ghost.
That would be serial. Serial is over three.
Yeah.
If you're killing people. So
yeah. So technically he's a serial rapist. So he got into some trouble at Athens, and then they, in the middle of the night, pretty much kidnapped him, threw him in a van, and took him up to the Lima State Hospital. And that is a maximum security unit.
Which we said is way more suitable for him than this basically vacation at a mental hospital.
Yes. Now, Lima is your typical 1960s, 70s mental hospital. The ones that Ghost Adventures go into and do their creepy stuff with. This one, basically,
there's a reason why they're haunted.
Yes. Billy was housed with people like the .22 caliber killer and men who killed their families. So he went from quote-unquote luxurious stay to, you know, he's in with the real shit now. And he's going to not like it.
Before we dive into all this, do we want to just shout out our social media and
I guess,
all the other fun stuff that we have?
I guess we should do some housekeeping, huh?
Well, that was a nice recap of where we left off last week and where we're jumping into now.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Guys, we are doing a double recording, so I in my head was still recording from the last episode. The runs are coming in tomorrow, so we had to do two because I know I'm not going to be able to sneak away from Big Bill to do a podcast, or he'll try to interrupt. And I don't know if the podcasting...
I feel like we need to get Big Bill on a paranormal one.
I don't know if the podcasting universe
campfire
is ready for that.
Oh, they're not. They're not. But we need to do, like, campfire stories with Big Bill.
We'd probably break the internet with that.
Yes.
So, yes. You know, I should have just took my magic mind again, and I probably wouldn't have had that snafu, you know? If you take the magic mind...
Yeah.
It would have been okay. Would have remembered all this stuff. But if you are having a snafu, I don't even know if that's a word. I think I just made that up. But if you are... Go visit our friends at Magic Mind at magicmind.co/don't go. Kind of rhymes. I like it. And then use our promo code don'tgo20 for 40% off your first subscription or 20% off your first purchase.
We just need to take ours this morning.
Oh, I did take mine.
For round two.
Probably should have took round two.
Yeah. And then guys, check us out on Instagram at don't_go_in_there. That's where we post our episodes that we're getting into. We're friends. Magic Mind, their code's on there. So check them out. Facebook page and group. Don't go in there. Join our little community. You can post stuff. Let us know what you want us to cover. We have a little Tiki Talk, Don't Go In There pod. So go follow us there and check out our little videos that we're going to be posting. And then send us your stories, your true crime, paranormal, what you want us to cover, or just any thoughts you have on us at don'tgoin_there19@gmail.com. And then if you can, like and subscribe to us on your podcasting platforms. Give us a little 5-star review so we grow in the charts and more people find us. And, you know, leave a little comment. Let us know how we're doing. Okay, now you can continue.
Now I can continue. So, Ash, let's go in there.
Let's go.
So before my little episode that I had, we were talking about how Billy was now in the Lima State Hospital, which is basically your typical 1960s/70s state hospital. People are just getting probably abused, neglected. It's overcrowded. Not enough help. Billy's now in there with the 22 caliber killer and men who killed their families. So he went from running the show or king shit at Athens to now being housed with the scariest people in the state, if not the country. What also is...
Yeah, that's a big adjustment.
Yes. What also has changed is now Billy has a doctor that is does not like Billy. He does not care what Dr. Call did before. He took him off all of his medications, re-prescribed him different medication, and he was not a believer of multiple personality disorder, and diagnosed him as psychopathic schizophrenia with dissociative episodes. That is a mouthful.
That is a mouthful. So we know that Billy does have something going on. No one was able just to diagnose it, and everyone just assumed it was this. So at least here's like a skeptic coming in.
Yeah, so this is probably what it should have been done in the first place, to bring somebody who is a skeptic on to talk about other possibilities. Because once you have somebody, once you have a team that all think the same, then you have nobody to be like, whoa, wait a minute. So this is just a different one. And he, like I said, he was not a believer. So he basically was like, no, this isn't a thing. So we're going to go completely off script here. Dr. Judith Box was another doctor brought in. She was hired to reassess Billy with hopes that she would prove that the original diagnosis was correct. Dr. Box knew going into this would be difficult due to the treatment that Billy was getting in the hospital. So he was taken off all of his other medications, put on new ones. She basically knew, well, now he's going to have a completely different reaction to these medications. So she's not sure what is real and what is just a side effect of the new medication. Instead of getting counseling, which actually really did help Billy to like just to have one-on-one consultations and art therapy, they relied heavily on a medication, which he really wasn't. He was prescribed medication before, but he did not like rely on it. His biggest therapy or his biggest treatment was therapy. And this would have worked if he had schizophrenia, but he didn't. So the medication didn't work, and it actually made things worse. He had, you know, severe depression. He would fracture a lot more, use the opposite.
Like bones? Fracture?
Like, no, I'm sorry. Like, so the opposite of fusion.
Personalities.
Yeah, so okay, fraction. Yeah. His personalities would fraction off even more. It would just, he'd basically going crazy because he's taking schizophrenia medication. If you don't have schizophrenia, it's not.
Well, you're tripping.
Yeah. He would go to bed one day, and then possibly or approximately like a month later, Billy would come back too. So his other personalities would take over for a month, and he had no recollection of what was going on. This caused Dr. Box to start treating Billy as multiple personality, which Dr. Linder, Dr. Linder's the head of the state hospital, disagreed, creating a huge conflict of treatment, and they butted heads. Eventually, Lima State Hospital was closed down, and Billy was taken to Dayton Forensic Hospital, where he was diagnosed with histrionic and narcissistic personality disorder with associated antisocial traits.
Jesus Christ, that is a mouthful.
I'm surprised I got through that at all.
And your Pittsburghese didn't come out.
I think other people would disagree.
Yeah.
He refused to go through any of his treatment programs while at Dayton, and he was then moved to Columbus. So he's just moving all.
He's just doing like the Ohio tour.
Yeah, basically.
Mental hospital tour.
He's like a comic starting out. He's just going all over the state. So let's move away a little bit from Billy's like hospital tour. Let's talk about the book. In 1981, Daniel Keyes, remember the author that was meeting with Billy at Athens, released The Minds of Billy Milligan. One of the issues with this book is that it was part of the book was actually fictionalized, which causes an issue for the reader to wonder what in this book is real and what in this book is not real. So basically, Daniel Keyes took what should have been a nonfiction book and all the interviews and started putting in fictional parts to it. That's a huge red flag. If you're going to label something as supposed to be like a non-fictional interview life story of Billy Milligan, but then you're going to put in your own stuff, that doesn't work. That doesn't work at all. That's kind of like the horror films based on a true story. Oh, it's based, but we know that you took high liberties with it.
I don't even know how he got away with writing this book of being like, oh, it's nonfiction, when it mostly is.
Yeah, exactly.
His interpretation.
Oh, yeah. It's just like all, what are they, what are those movies? There's three of them right now, and they're...
Stranger Things. No,
that's a series, but that's a good... No, this is horrible podcasting.
We're the greatest.
No, she was a famous, like, medium. She just died a few years ago. Started with
Lorraine.
Lorraine Warren.
Lorraine,
Those movies. So those movies are based on a true story or actual events, but we all know that they took Hollywood liberties at it and basically made it not even close to what the stories were.
Yeah.
Which has me thinking this is probably what Daniel Keyes did. And then on top of that, we all know Billy is manipulative. It is an early morning. I'm sorry. We all know Billy is manipulative. So taking everything at his word, I don't know if I would do that either. So if you're reading that book...
Yeah, not the best idea. Yeah,
no, not at all. Keyes claims that Billy is being truthful because over a seven-month period, he was being interviewed and evaluated by the Harding's Hospital and then given, now get this, sodium amytal, a.k.a. the truth serum by Dr. Call. And if you guys know anything about, like, conspiracy theories or even like what the CIA was doing at this time, if you watch Wormhole, any of those documentaries, we know that the CIA was up to some shady shit, and they did try to use sodium amytal as the truth serum, but it's nothing more than like that. Well, back then they thought it was truth serum, because if you would interrogate, they used this in like spies and like people that were thought to be spies. They would give them the stuff and they would tell them everything. Well, they found out later it's just like being in a hypnotic state. It just makes you more susceptible and to implanted ideas. So you take it and you just splat out shit because somebody told you that's what they want to hear.
And probably a lot of these interviews, and I'm not saying these ones in general, but like back in the day, they had a lot of leading questions. Like, weren't you in the parking lot when so-and-so was leaving? I was. Like, I was in the parking lot. And it's like, it's not... They're not looking for your truth. They're looking for their truth. So if you're in this hypnotic state being all suggestive and they're suggesting this is what happened, that's what you're going to say.
100%. I think I was going to do that all episode. So now we got like a lot of people that are looking at this. They want it to be multiple personality disorders. You know, Dr. Call, Dr. Box, all the doctors want it to be, except for the majority of them, but the ones that we're talking about want it to be. So let's cover a few of the skeptics' view of what is going on and what they think is going on, because I feel like it's a good idea not to just concentrate on what the... It's the most popular idea in society that he has it, like, if that makes sense. Like, the vocal minority are the ones that are getting the word out that he's MPD, you know? But the vast majority of psychologists and psychiatrists do not think that. Billy was under a lot of treatment who were keeping him out of prison. So obviously you would think that he would be manipulative and aim to please them. He has a benefit to keep out of prison, so he keeps going with it. While he may have a mental illness, that only makes him more susceptible to suggestive techniques. So what I mean by that is, I'm not saying that isn't anything wrong with him, but it is a possibility of what other doctors were saying, that he wants to please them. He has this disorder that makes him want to please that person, so whatever they suggest, he just regurgitates back. And if you think about it, he really don't have to keep up with stories, you just got to keep up who the personalities are, which isn't really hard. And if you screw up, you just go out of that personality into a new personality, or go back to Billy and go, what happened? I don't know what happened. What happened there? So there is...
Yeah, that's a good point too, because we were saying that he has so many, like, how could you keep up with them? Half of them are, what were they called? The
undesirables.
Undesirables. Yeah, so they don't come out ever, but he has them. And then these ones, like you said, like, oh, if you mess up, just, oh, wake up, I'm Billy again.
Yeah, and...
It's a great way to get around it.
We also have to remember, if you do forget about a personality, half the time you don't have to bring them out. And then when one of the doctors say, hey, is Tommy there? Now I'm Tommy.
Like, oh, fuck.
Now I'm Tommy. I totally forgot about Tommy, but now I can pull Tommy out because you led me to do that.
And you know what's probably a thing, too, is the doctors are probably like, can Tommy come play? Because Tommy's a kid. So they're probably talking to, like, they want to bring a kid forward. They're not going to say that to Reagan. No.
No, they'll probably be like, is Reagan in there? And then that's why.
A little bit more aggressive because he's aggressive. Well,
and that's why they think he named him Reagan. Rage. I mean, we talked about it before. He probably put these little cues in for it.
To, like, remember. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that maybe these personalities are part of his schizophrenic or whatever, his dissociative identity disorder, whatever you want to call it. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just saying it is a possibility that he could be just doing this to benefit him. Now, there is an example of this. Remember when we talked about the book? All of a sudden, there's a book, and now they found more personalities. So it benefits everybody. After this case, a high number of multiple personality disorders popped up across the country. We talked about it last episode, where it was like the E. coli of, what was the old, it wasn't, well, Chili's is still there. CC's. Yeah. So now everybody has E. coli, or, you know, everybody has monkeypox, whatever it is going on at the time. Again, is this because they are now aware of the disorder, which 100% could be. They are now aware of this disorder. This is now a disorder, and these people could actually have it? Or could it be that the doctors have good intentions and are making suggestive thoughts towards their patient, causing the patient to try to seek approval and more attention from the doctor? Which is also 100% true. Now, it could be both. It could 100% be both, because just because the doctors are suggesting it does not mean it's coming from like a place of, they're not doing it to be mean. They're just, they have good intentions. They're trying to figure it out for the patient, but in the back of their mind, they want it to be a multiple personality disorder so bad because it's interesting and intrigues them that they lead and suggest things to their patients, which does not do good. Even Dr. Kyle started doing workshops to show how you needed to define each and every personality. So now Dr. Kyle is going out and doing you can make $100,000 a month with the real estate workshops every weekend. And they're popping up everywhere across the United States. Everybody's now, you pay me $500 for this workshop type of thing. You know what I mean?
Oh my God. That's like a little pyramid scheme for mental illness.
Yeah, yeah.
A little pyramid.
Cash cow, baby. You know, everybody's trying to make a buck. Dr. Box, now you remember Judith Box, she states that they quickly learned the more you do that, the more personalities come out, and that was quickly abandoned. So once again, now even the doctors are starting to notice when you start trying to identify more personalities magically show up. Once again, could be that these people are suffering from a mental illness, which means they are more susceptible to leading questions. They're trying to figure out what's wrong with them too, and they're aiming to please. They see the doctor go, oh, yes, yes, yes. And they're like, oh, that's a trigger. Oh, I hit my mic again. Sorry. I need like an arm.
I need
one that hangs from the ceiling.
Or you just need like a protection for your arms, like a little plastic wall.
I just have Anne duct tape my arms down.
Just move your shoulders. Yeah. But a lot of these people, they probably are so desperate for answers too, because they probably don't know what's going on with them. So when they have a doctor saying like, oh, it's multiple personalities, they're like, yeah, you have an answer for me.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
And you gotta remember, this is a time where everything was schizophrenia, everything. So there wasn't a lot of answers for stuff. So whenever you hear that, you know, I finally have an answer, it has a good effect. I'm going to keep going with it. And it might, and on the patient's part, it might not even be, they might not even be trying to do it either. They might be a subconscious thing to do for them too. So now at Athens, when Billy was at Athens, a lot of the workers stated they never saw Billy once in another personality outside the recorded meetings. So it was always Billy all the time, except when it was time to turn it on for game time. This worker also recalled during a video call with Dr. Knops that Dr. Knops tried to speak with Reagan in Serbo-Croatian, which he claimed he learned while drafted by the German workforce, and every time Billy flipped back to Reagan, he would never talk back. He couldn't understand what Dr. Knops was saying. So Reagan, and that might have came out a little jumbled. So Reagan claimed that he knew, you know, he was drafted by the German workforce and he did all this stuff, and that's where his Serbo-Croatian came from. But when Dr. Knops talked to him in his own language, that he claimed, remember, he claimed to write a letter to Keyes in Croatian and was verified, but he could not speak it back to him. This was attempted multiple times, and he could never respond back or understand what the doctor was saying in his native tongue, quote-unquote native tongue.
It's weird that he can, quote-unquote, write it, quote-unquote, speak it, but can't understand it when it's spoken to him, or just not respond to it. But, it's so weird that he has this whole background for him, like he was a German soldier, he learned it in the war, this, that, whatever. Almost sounds like a spirit possession in a sense, because they have that background. Like, I didn't think multiple personalities went that deep with their backgrounds. I thought it was just like a part of you, but
that's
broken off due to trauma.
I think that's probably what it is today, but we also got to remember who we're dealing with right now. And this was a completely new thing. So they were like, oh, this is very intriguing. And I mean, imagine if it was true. I mean, that would be crazy. It'd be crazy. Now, so we talked about the letter that he wrote in Croatian to Keyes. There was also a letter that he wrote as Arthur. Remember the intelligent, always in control, Arthur? Or no, that was Alan. I even get them all mixed up. But he had one named Arthur, and Arthur wrote to Daniel Keyes in Arabic. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Arabic, but that's got to be one of the hardest languages just to pick up. I'm sure it's not easy. It writes different ways. It doesn't read the same as English. Well, it was later found out that this was an inmate that Billy was housed in. He came out and said publicly that Billy told him and asked him to write a letter and teach him the Arabic language. So he would write letters for Billy and then teach him a little bit of Arabic so Billy, I bet, could use it in some of his trans dates. Well, Billy, of course, you know, said that's not true. I would never do that. That there was no Arabic language speakers in Lima. Well, apparently there was, because a guy was on national TV saying that this happened.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think Billy is the most trustworthy person.
Yeah.
To go with right now, so.
One thing is for sure, Billy was super manipulative, and he would manipulate his environment to get what he wanted. With Wilbur and Harding, he used multiple personality. In the state hospital, you would see him use his sociopath-type strategies to manipulate the system. So whatever he could do to basically get what Billy wants, Billy got.
And they're all so good at doing that.
Yeah. I mean, if you see all the serial killers that are around this time, they're all good at getting what they want and backstabbing, getting people to do whatever they want for them. You got to remember, the number one goal is for them to be happy, and no, it doesn't matter about anybody else. So Billy, unfortunately, was labeled like a ladies' man. And we see this all the freaking time with serial killers that are in jail. It wasn't out of the order.
I will never understand this.
Never.
Ever.
Ever. Especially ones that kill women specifically. Like, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. It wasn't out of the ordinary for Billy to be involved with other patients or staff members of these hospitals. Yeah. According to Athens staff, volunteers and new members would gawk at the sight of Billy or Billy's room. He would constantly get letters from women claiming their love for him and wanting to marry him. Eventually, Billy would marry the sister of a co-patient at Dayton, and that his co-patient or person he was roomed with was Dawn Bartley. Billy would end up marrying his sister Tanda Bartley at Dayton's rec area. So they had like a little rec room. They all got married. Not all got married. Those two got married.
Oh, yeah.
Well, 51 days later, she must have realized she fucked up and left Billy, divorcing him, leaving him with just a Dear Billy letter. I think what happened, because she ended up getting all the money from the book deal royalties, and she left.
That would be the only reason to go through this wedding. Other than that, like, I do not understand. One, he's not good looking. Look, we'll post some pictures. He has a horseshoe. Sorry. I'm dating a bald person, I'm married to a bald person. So I can say that.
It's a person of hair loss. Thank you.
Oh, I apologize to the hair loss community. But it just shows how, like, manipulative they can be. I will never understand women who go after guys who hurt women, who rape them, who murder them. Like, you're not gonna change them. I don't know what you think in your head. But this lady had to be like, oh, he's getting money. I'm gonna marry him and take it.
I hope she did.
Because I don't want to know if there was conjugal visits, but if there was not, that was a better deal for her.
Yeah. So, and I know some of this seems like I'm contradicting what I'm saying about Billy making money. I'm just saying the way that everything was given to me, I can't tell which happens first. I can't tell if the bill was passed and then Billy was able to keep his money because everything was signed before the bill, or if the bill just came later down. So if you guys can figure that out, I took a deep dive and forgot to look it up. But just know that Billy did make some money, but he never, ever pocketed it. It was all in royalties. So they had to wait until things went through. So Billy's, you know, he gets his luck. He's moving from hospital to hospital. But things have kind of gone back to normal. He gets moved back to Athens. He's able to gain his freedoms yet again. He ended up renting a farm, actually, and bought some cattle to keep away from society. So he had a farm he can go to during his time of freedoms. Got some cattle out there. He actually had a new girlfriend that was a tennis player at the local university. So, once again, younger woman at the local university.
WTF.
He's still painting, using those paintings to help his abused children. I think he actually started giving some of the money to, like, donating it, which I guess was good, obviously. But that wouldn't last long. Like, he starts being Billy again pretty damn soon. He also starred in a soap opera that was filmed locally.
Is that like a fancy way of saying cheap porn.
No, it was an actual soap opera.
Is it a real?
It's an actual soap opera. I don't know the name of it, but he was supposed to be just in one scene and be done. But he befriended Jim Murray, which was the producer of this. Although people around this new quote-unquote Billy said he was kind and friendly, they were always on edge around him, especially the producer. I mean, they were good friends, but the one thing was they went on a hike one time, and the next thing the producer knows is, like, they're deep into the woods, and it's just him and Billy. And Billy said some shady things to him, I guess, and he was like, oh shit, I'm about to die. But everything worked out. It was fine. They remained friends for a long time, and even this Murray guy, I don't know what the hell he was thinking with some of the shit that you guys would hear that he does.
But it's the thing, is like, he knows something is off. Like, trust your gut. Like, when you meet somebody and there's just that little intuition of, like, they're nice, but there's something weird about them. There probably is something weird about them, whether it's something, you know, justifiable, like they're, I don't know, into knitting a lot, or I don't know. I knit, so I can say that. But, like, just trust your gut of, like, if something seems off, you know, you don't have to be alone with that person. Don't go on hikes.
Don't go on hikes.
That is my TED Talk for today.
Well, Billy enjoyed his actual freedom. I mean, who wouldn't? You go from maximum state security. So he enjoyed his freedoms, but the local sheriff, Sheriff Allen, did not like his freedoms. He constantly would say that he would one day put Billy behind bars. And they even, actually, what was kind of fucked up is they shared a property line. So Billy's property butted up against Sharon Allen's property.
That had to annoy him so much.
I would be annoyed. I'd be so annoyed. Billy even accused Sheriff's son of shooting at his dog. I don't care
who fucks with dogs.
It is. You don't fuck with a dog. No, actually, there's not even no buts about it. But as you can see, it was like a neighbor dispute on steroids. Well, Billy couldn't forever stay away from criminal activity. Surprise, surprise. One day, Billy and a state hospital staffer, not a co-patient, not a fellow criminal, a hospital staffer, drove around town, eventually made their way to the staffer's supervisor's house, shot a gun through the trailer. Billy was then put on severe supervision until an investigation was finished. As you can see, this hospital is very retroactive in their punishment, or not punishments, but they're not proactive. They wait for something that reactive, not retroactive, reactive to things that happen. They're not proactive. So they wait to basically something happens, and then it's kind of like today's attention span. It like lasts 21 days, and then they're on to a new thing. Now, Billy's fine now. He's good.
He got a slap on the wrist. He's fine. Also, like, who do they hire at this hospital? Like, weren't the other, like, staff people, like, out in the woods partying with him?
Female patients.
Patients, yeah. Okay. But still.
Still. Billy was soon charged with vandalism, perjury, and intimidation of a witness. We'll go over the perjury here soon. So, Sheriff, basically, when the sheriff testifies that he gave evidence of Billy threatening him, Billy denied the allegations while on a stand. However, since the sheriff, this is where the perjury comes in. And basically, the sheriff provides this tape that he gave, that when he recorded Billy threatened him on it. But Billy denied that he threatened him, even though there was evidence that he threatened. But he denied it on the stand, so they charged him with perjury. In typical Billy Luck fashion, the sheriff recorded him without his knowledge. Therefore, it was thrown out, and the case was dismissed.
This happens all the time. I swear, all the time.
It's crazy. It's just like, that is his luck. Like, that's his luck, you know?
Yeah.
And he has good luck right now. After the trial was dismissed in 1986, they moved Billy back to Columbus to the Timothy Moitz Center. The overseeing doctor was one from Billy's past, Dr. Linder. Remember, Dr. Linder from Lima Center did not believe Billy, did not think multiple personality was a thing. So he put Billy back on the medication that he was on at Lima that did not help. Dr. Linder was so hard-headed about this that he still stood by his diagnosis, and they had a confrontation. Billy just walked away. He walked away from the hospital after the confrontation. He just walked away. And
well, one of his personalities was an escape artist, so I wonder if he had anything to do about, like, I'm out. Yeah, he just left.
I don't even know how they just said he just walked off the property. Not even questioned.
That's insane.
And this was during the 4th of July period. What you guys need to know is during this time, a lot of cops take off. Now, July is one that is highly requested off. So they were already probably short-staffed as it was. The state troopers got involved and tried to attempt to locate Billy, but like I said, they're short-staffed, people are on vacation. I know that doesn't sound like the greatest excuse, but we still take vacations. And you're trying to find
the reality of it.
Trying to find one person. That's kind of hard when you don't have all the technology that we have now. You know, you don't have a way to ping him. He basically just walks off into the sunset. And who knows how long it took the hospital to realize Billy was gone. If he's just walking off, somebody wasn't chasing him. It means he just walked off the property and no one knew. So he probably had hours and hours of a head start.
I wonder if he had a plan of like, where am I going to go?
Well, we'll talk about it.
Let's go in there.
They were actually kind of worried about him, though. He was going to run out of his medication. And if we know anything about medication, there is some medications that you just can't stop taking. You have to wean yourself off of it. So they were worried about that. They worried about the community. Obviously, he gets off his medication, doesn't have his therapy. He could start acting out again. He could go back to, you know, doing physical harm to the community or himself. Billy's plan was well thought out, though. But he did have some help from his attorney and Jim Murray, the producer. Murray ended up advising Billy to take a video to explain why he left the hospital. Murray then called the media outlets, advised them that he left the tape in a locker, and I think a bus stop. It just said in a locker. I was like, whoa, a locker where? But that makes sense. It would be a bus stop because they usually have lockers and that's
lockers.
An option. So people started noticing that when Billy Milliken's story started to die off, he would reappear. So this is why I think he ran, because it would create attention on him. Then the Murray came in with the video and he's like, perfect opportunity for me to be in the spotlight again.
This definitely is highlighting his narcissistic tendencies.
Yes. This is where all the narcissistic claims come in. Yeah, I got it. I swear, people, I'm not dumb. I just, the Pittsburghese comes out and there's a lot of R's in the word. You're not getting it from me. I'm going to have to stop dropping them though. I'm going to Maine. I'm going to have to start saying narcissistic, stuff like that.
Narcissistic.
I'm going to have to start doing that. At this time, Billy and Murray rented a car together. They drove a car together to Colorado. He ended up leaving Billy in Aspen and flew back to Ohio. Like, oh, no harm, no foul type of thing.
I can't even like imagine like in his head, how is this a good idea? How?
They're good friends. They're good friends. Now, this would get the FBI involved. And the FBI was able to find out he had a relative near Vancouver, his brother Jim. If we remember, brother Jim was the one that took Chalmer by the throat with a knife. Now he lives up in Vancouver. When Billy was in Colorado, he was able to get a hold of Jim, and they planned to take him to a Washington town called Bellingham. Billy ended up renting a place in the town and began a new life as Christopher Carr. Murray was able to get a social security card with the name Christopher Carr on it and get that out to Billy. This obviously helped Billy obtain new ID cards, driver's licenses, stuff like that. So he was able to start a whole new life. Because remember back then, you didn't have all this digital print, like IDs, like all that stuff. You just basically were handed a card. There was no like holographs on it. Like today's driver's licenses, they were basically just laminated paper. Maybe with a few things here and there, but it was pretty easy to counterfeit. So social security cards. I mean, you look at a social security card. If you get it on the right paper, not that hard.
That's how it is. It's paper. Yeah. It's crazy that he was able to do that so easily, it seems like.
Yeah, and it's weird that like a TV producer knew how to do it, you know?
I don't know. It sounds like it's not his first time, but that's something we'll have to look into later.
Yeah, we might have a whole different episode on Jim Murray.
Yeah.
His brother started to keep a journal about everything that had to do with Billy, including a phone with his lawyer back in Ohio. His phone, including a phone number with his lawyer back in Ohio. The phone did not end well. Phone calls. The phone calls did not end well and ended up with the lawyer telling Jim that it would be best if Billy would just go out to the woods and commit suicide.
From his lawyer.
So,
damn.
Yeah. So he had all these phone calls with the lawyer. He would record them. He would take notes. And this is what he got. This is when Jim and Murray started to have daily communication about the situation. So Jim, TV producer, are together. They're friends now. Jim relayed to Murray that he was starting to get worried about Billy because his art went from beautiful landscapes. That's one thing he was doing out West was painting all these landscapes, and it is beautiful out here, and he was painting them. But then it went from that to disturbing, like he was back when he first got into the hospital. Remember the hanging rag doll.
Creepy doll.
Yeah. And he would also note a lot of items in Billy's house that were items that he couldn't afford. They didn't really go into the detail of what these were, but he's not making much money, but he has these expensive things in his house.
Little five-finger discount.
Mm-hmm. Eventually, Murray and Jim had a three-way call with Dr. Call, if you remember Dr. Call from the Athens, recommended that Billy be taken to a doctor in California named Dr. Ralph Allison. And if he didn't go, just leave it to God. Whatever happened to Billy, happened to Billy. Well, Dr. Allison...
That is...
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Dr. Allison agreed to see Billy, and Jim flew Billy down to California. However, it turned out to be a ruse to get Billy to turn himself in to Dr. Allison, which was a state correctional facility.
Sneaky sneak.
Billy calls his brother and tells him that he set him up and he is now in Florida. So Billy went to Florida.
Oh my God. That it's like, yeah, I'm going to go to California. Wink, wink. Go to Florida.
Yeah. Billy tells his brother that he is now sitting in a hotel conference room that is currently hosting a law enforcement convention.
Oh my God.
Jim calls the FBI hotline and tells them where Billy is. The agent working in the case advises agents in Miami, and while they go out to find him, they go to Billy's aunt's house. Now, if you remember, Billy's aunt is his mother's sister that, remember, she went down to Miami for a long time and did her singing and everything, so Billy knew where to go. Billy calls the aunt while the FBI is there and tells her he would be home soon. Some agents drive down to the hotel and find him at the bar with his attorney.
Isn't this the one who said he should go into the woods and kill himself?
I guess.
Good friends.
I'm telling you, this fucking story takes turns. Soon after Billy was taken into custody, the Seattle office of the FBI alerts the FBI agents working Billy's case that they had a man go missing named Michael Madden. So Billy, remember, was up in the Seattle area, and they had a missing person named Michael Madden, and they believe Billy had something to do with it. Even the Royal Mounted Police even made contact with Jim. So the Mounties, remember, he's up in Vancouver. So the Mounties went to speak to Jim about this missing person, and Jim learned that Michael Madden had went missing September 1986, which was the start of Billy's residence in Bellingham.
If that's not sketchy, I don't know what is. Little coincidence.
Little quinky dink.
A little bit. So, but this would be kind of like off-brand for him, though, because he's only attacked girls, and now this is like a guy.
I guess we're just going to have to wait and find out.
We're going to have to.
I think that's a good spot to leave people wanting more.
Ooh, yeah. Suspenseful. I like it.
So, yep, that's where we're going to leave off. You guys have to wait till next week to find out what happens to Michael Madden and Billy Milligan.
Check us out on social media. Instagram, go_in_ there. That's where we have the promo code for Magic Man. They are our friends. And that's where we post, things about what we're talking about. Facebook group, don't go in there. Join our little community. Let us know how we're doing. Any kind of comments you want to put, that's fine. Send us an email of stories you want us to cover, whether it's true crime or paranormal, at don'tgointhere19@gmail.com. And then don't forget to like and subscribe. Give us a little 5-star review on your podcast platform. Help us grow the charts and, tell a friend about us. Help us get out there more.
Yeah, absolutely. We would love for you to share us. We'd love to have more listeners. Please do email us. We'd love to hear from you guys. Let us know how we're doing, what we can improve on. We're trying to really make this a really good recording. There are some things that are out of our control right now just because of my living situation, but everything should be getting better. It sounds a lot better than it did when we previously did this. So
yeah, 100%.
100%. Well, Ash, if you have nothing else, I guess let's get out of here.
Bye.
All right. And remember, guys, don't go in there.